Good morning. A couple quick announcements. Christmas caroling today at 2 o'clock. Meeting here?
Yes.
Meeting here at 2 o'clock. Gift wrap presents for the Davis Townsend students. See, we got a whole bunch in. We need those as soon as possible. When are you delivering those?
Tomorrow.
If you can get them back by here today, if you hadn't already done so, they're being delivered to the school tomorrow. Children's play practice today at 3:30. Handbell practice at 5 o'clock. Let's see here. We're going to have a potluck on the 29th. Bring your favorite dish. Do we have any? No prayer shawls, right? Dwight Everhart had a fall on Friday. I understand he had a stroke and clots on the brain. According to the Facebook post, the clots were removed and they took him off a ventilator. So he was talking to family members, so everything's looking better than it was. And as soon as I have any more information, I reached out to the Everhart family this morning, hadn't heard anything back. So as soon as I get any more information, I'll post it on Google Groups and keep everybody informed as much as possible. Lutheran Men in Mission, 7 o'clock in the fellowship hall. Do we have any more announcements? Neil? Oh, I'll get there. Yes, ma'am, Miss Karen. Agape Circle Fellowship Hall tomorrow at 6:30. Wear your ugly sweaters. Wednesday night Advent meal. Start around 5:45 with a little service at 6:30. Agape will be providing the meal. December the 22nd will be the Christmas program during our worship service. We'll have our Christmas Eve candlelight service starting at 9:30 with special music on the 24th. Service around 10 o'clock. Pastor Talent will be here helping us with that. Do we have any birthdays? Happy birthday to Brandon Hedrick, Greg Kepley, Johnny Fritz, Caroline Hedrick, Colton Rose, Carolyn Black. No anniversaries for today. Let us pray. Keep watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So we want to welcome Pastor Danielle Denise. She'll be leading our service today. I'll let her, when she gets up, say a little bit about herself. And thank you.
Thank you.
Of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
The wills of all who look to you, Lord God, and strengthen our faith in your coming, that transformed by grace, we may walk in your way. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Blessed are you, God of might and majesty, for you promised to make the desert rejoice and blossom, to watch over the strangers and to set the prisoners free. As we light these candles, satisfy our hunger with your good gifts, open our eyes to the great things you have done for us, and fill us with patience until the coming of our Lord Jesus. O ransomed people of the Lord, come. Let us travel on God's holy way and enter into Zion with singing. Amen.
Our children to come up for a children's chat message. Can you have a seat for me right here? Are you trying to blow them out? I know. It's so tempting. It's so tempting. Come on up. Y'all doing okay today? You getting ready for Christmas? How many more days of school? A week? Okay. So you've got an idea. Come on up. Hey, okay, so in just a minute, I'm actually gonna need you all to stand up because I need you to help me with something, okay? So I need you to stand up because I need you to show me how you would look at your belly button if you were standing up. I know it sounds weird, just go with me, I got the microphone, okay? So stand up. You don't have to actually look at your belly button. Let's just pretend it was on the outside of your clothes. How would you be looking? Like pretty curved in, like this? Pretty curved in? Okay, so here's what I want you to do. This feels dangerous on the stairs, so come off the stairs a little bit. All right, and I want you to go ahead. Don't run into the fire either, because that feels dangerous. Okay, all of those things together. All right, so I want you to look at your belly button. Okay. And now that you're looking at your belly button, you gotta be looking at your belly button, tell me what you can see. Nope, at your belly button. At your belly button, at your belly. What do you see? Just you, right? Your shirt, maybe your clothes? Well, here's the deal, y'all. Jesus, there's actually a phrase in Latin that says, when we have sin in our lives, it's like we're looking at our belly buttons, that we are curved in. And if you're looking at your belly button, can anybody see those candles? No, you're just looking at your belly button. And here's what Advent is all about. Advent is Jesus coming into the world and saying, hey, buddy, you don't need to look at your belly button. You know what I want you to look at? The light of the world, right? You don't need to look at your belly button. I want you to look at the light of the world. Gracie, you don't need to look at your belly button. Light of the world, right? We're called to be looking at the light of the world. And if we're just looking at our belly buttons, who are we thinking about? Us, ourselves, all the time, right? Do we think about ourselves all the time? We tend to think about ourselves a lot. And God says, when we get all curved in like this, That's what sin looks like when we only think about ourselves. And so during Advent, do you know why we light candles? We light candles to wait for God to come in, but really, we light candles so that we learn to look up, to see the light of the world around us. So this Christmas time, I know you're thinking about presents, you're thinking about school being done, you're thinking about sleeping in, all of those kind of things. And God's saying, hey, not your belly button, right? I want you to look up at the world, right? And here's the other thing. The third candle, how many candles, right? One. Y'all, I have a two-year-old. He can count to three. Come on. One, two, three candles. Most churches say that the third candle is what we call a joy candle, right? So we don't just look up at the world around us so that we can be sad, but we look up so that we can see the joy of God in this place. So I need your help one more time. You know those faces? Can you make your best joy face for our church? Make your best joy face. Let me see it. Do they look joyful or they just look pained that I'm making them do this? Joyful, right? That God has, okay, let's do this one more time. Ready? This is what we're going to do on the count of three. We're going to look at our belly buttons, and then I'm going to say, but God has given us joy, and we're going to turn our heads up and look at the church with tons of joy. You got it? Can you do it? All right, belly buttons in. Three, two, one. But God has given us joy. Right? They look scared. I don't know if they look joyful. But here's the thing. There is great joy that we don't have to just care about ourselves, but God invites us to look at the light and care about all the world. So let us pray. Dear God, thank you for today. Thank you that we don't have to just think about ourselves, but we're invited to think about all the world and the ways that we can serve the world. Especially, God, this day, we thank you for your light that breaks in. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. All right, thanks for...
The first reading for the third Sunday of Advent is from the 35th chapter of Isaiah. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be open, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The halt of jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm today will be read responsively by whole verse. Happy are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God.
Who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever.
Who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free.
The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous.
The Lord watches over the strangers. He upholds the orphan and the widow, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The second reading is from the fifth chapter of James. Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Beloved, do not grumble against one another, so that you may not be judged. See, the judge is standing at the doors. As an example of suffering and patience, beloved, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out in the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you. Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he.'" The gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I invite you to be seated. It is my privilege and joy to be with you this morning. As Andy said, I'm Pastor Danielle Denise. I'm the director for Evangelical Mission here in the North Carolina Synod. I live just down the road in Salisbury with my husband, Michael, and we have two little ones, an almost three-year-old, Moses, and a 16-month-old named Olive. If you can do the math, that means I had babies way too close together, but it's a little crazy. I do bring you greetings from Bishop Tim Smith on behalf of the North Carolina Synod as we walk together in this work. And just as a personal point of privilege, I have heard Bishop Smith say several times that he loved worshiping with you all because here he wasn't Bishop Smith, but he was Matt's dad. And it was a good reminder that he's not an event or some person on a pedestal, but a human being with a calling. And for many years, you gave him that gift. So I thank you for that. Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, our rock, our strength, and our Redeemer. Amen. Have you ever had one of those experiences and thought, seriously? I was pretty sure that Jesus meant that I wouldn't experience this. I mean, I was hopeful that being baptized and a churchgoer and doing mostly the right things meant that I was off the hook from hard things. Have you ever wondered that? Ever in a moment of doubt thought, man, how did I end up here? I imagine that that is exactly what John the Baptist thought in our verses we encounter in the gospel today. You see, when we met John the Baptist last week in our gospel text, he was baptizing, like his name said, pointing to Jesus, telling the whole world of Jesus's power. But this week, several chapters later, John's in prison. You heard me, in prison. John the Baptist, the one who God was using to prepare the way of the Lord. People prophesied about this guy, and he's the one in prison? I wondered if there was a moment when John thought, didn't being prophesied about, following Jesus, pointing to the Messiah, mean that I was going to live free from prison time? Whatever is in John's head or his emotional state, we don't know. And I'm not sure it's worth our wondering too much. This week, as I wrestled with our text, I was far more captivated by the question and the answer between John and Jesus, with the jail cell looming in the background. John asks, "Are you the one to come? Or should I expect somebody else?" I mean, it's a bit of a head-turning question. John has spent his adult life saying, yes, Jesus is the one. And here he is in jail wondering. It's as if the darkness of the cell surrounding him is clouding his hope. So perhaps he just needs to hear it again, not from his own head or a book, but from the lips of Jesus. And so he asks, "Are you the one?" And so John's disciples take that question to Jesus. He tells Jesus a deep longing, "Are you the one?" And that Jesus, he doesn't respond with some astute theological treatise about him. He doesn't even give a decisive yes. He simply says to John's disciples, "Tell John what you see and hear. Tell John what you see and hear." It's a fascinating response to the question of deep longing. When John, or even us, are asking, "Are you the one?" we ask it with an all-too-human heart, hoping that Jesus will say yes and whip out a wand like Harry Potter and take on the evil in our world. But no such wand is waved. Jesus simply says, "Tell him what you see and hear." And so the disciples do just that. They return to John and they start to proclaim, "The blind can see and the lame can walk and the diseased are made clean and the deaf hear and the dead raised and the poor are hearing the good news of the gospel." I can almost picture them recounting the stories of transformation to John. Yes, John, they're walking, they're hearing, they're seeing. And it makes me wonder if in that moment, if John's whole perspective changed when he heard this testimony. Did John, who was covered in a cloud of doubt, begin thinking, "Yes, he is the one. I'm in prison, but God is still moving." It's amazing how this answer meets John's question of deep longing. And it struck me this week that maybe Jesus is hoping to meet our questions of longing with the same kind of answer. As I explained to the kids, and you're lucky that we had a children's sermon because I would have made y'all stand up and look at your belly buttons. But there's this Latin word for sin that literally means to be curved in on yourself. That sin is that you are quite literally looking at your own self more than the rest of the world. I think John's question comes after he's put in jail. He'd lived his whole life looking this way, and the circumstances of the day were causing him to curve in. And I think Jesus said, tell him the stories of transformation so that John's head could literally be taken back up, that he might see God at work in this world. But here's the thing, church. We don't have to be in a prison to be discouraged in our faith. We don't have to be locked up to wonder if following Jesus really means freedom. We don't have to dwell in the darkness of a cell to feel alone and doubting our God. If we're honest, it probably happens every time we turn on the news, or struggle to pay a bill, or say goodbye to a loved one that has taken their last breath. In full confession, I thought it last night. I told you that I have a 2-year-old and a 1-year-old, and I just have to confess to you that life with littles is exhausting. I mean, I said to my husband this morning, I'm really excited to go to church by myself. He didn't find that as fun as I thought it was. But yesterday, we threw in a missed nap and a meltdown in the Hobby Lobby, and my 2-year-old saying, but I want it, but I want it, but I want it, and I was literally done. We piled into our dining table, eating whatever we could scrounge out of the fridge, and my feet were crunching on the crumbs from the snack that was dropped earlier in the day. And I just found myself saying, God, really, are you the one? Because I'm pretty sure you promised abundant life, and I am just exhausted. And then I could feel it in my heart, perhaps because I've spent all week with this text. I could feel it in my heart, the Spirit saying, Danielle, how about you see and hear what I am doing? And then in a moment, I thought about how yesterday morning we were at an ordination of a dear friend, and my 1-year-old and 2-year-old head held hands all the way down the aisle to receive Jesus' special meal, as they call it. And in a moment, I remembered, not about me. And the gift of looking and seeing quite literally took my head not out of an exhausted place, but a self-centered one, to see God around us. I think God is using Advent to change our perspective. Perhaps that's why we need it so desperately, because we're too busy to see and hear, aren't we? We're too busy to tell each other the stories of the ways that God is showing up, and we're too consumed with ourselves and our circumstances to see God breaking in. Church, I'm not sure why you came here today. I'm not even sure if you have the same question as John. But I do know this. God is moving in our world. There are stories. There are lives being changed by the gospel. There is transformation happening. And church, perhaps we need to just look up from our belly buttons a bit more. No, probably a lot more. To be people who are seeing and hearing. To be people who are saying that there is hope showing up when hope has supposedly been lost. There are babies being born when death feels like it's all around. There are acts of kindness, signs of resistance, saying to the world that we will not settle for thinking for ourselves. There are songs and hymns being sung, even as weapons of war fight for the airspace. There are candles being lit to remind us that no darkness, not even the worst, can overcome the light of Jesus Christ. So church, sounds kind of simple. I mean, I thought Jesus had it too simple too. The invitation today is to look and listen. And when you're exhausted at your dinner table, thinking, is this it? Is this what following Jesus is really going to look like? If your heart is asking that question, are you the one? Remember Jesus' encouragement to look and listen. Because who knows? Maybe Jesus might take your tired heart and remind you with the story of two little kids holding hands. And in that very image, offer you a resounding yes. I am the one. Amen.
By use of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He ascended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy
whole people of God in Christ Jesus. Let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Gracious God, we give thanks for all your people gathered in worship throughout this world. In this time of Advent, strengthen our faith. Turn our hearts towards you. Lift up our heads so that we may see you among us. And as we light yet another candle, may we wait with hope, expectantly, for the arrival of our Messiah. Lord, in your mercy. Good and gracious God, we thank you for your creation. Lord, we pray for our world. We pray that we would be good caretakers and stewards of all that you have entrusted to us. Gracious God, where the land is dry, send rain, where it has been watered too much, gracious God, we pray that it would dry up so that all may have what they need from our creation. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, we pray for the nations of this world. We pray for leaders of countries throughout this world that they may lead with justice and advocate so that all may experience the dignity of being a child of God. Lord, where there is war, we pray peace. Where there is hunger, we pray that people would be fed in body, mind, and spirit. Gracious God, where people are thirsty, may a wellspring of life come forth. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, be with those who are hurting in body, mind, or spirit. Be with those who are anxious as they await test results. Be with those, gracious God, whose bodies are ailing. Bind them up so they may experience your wholeness and healing. And for this community, gracious God, we pray especially this day for Burnett and Gary, for Bill and Dwight, Joanne, Walter, Sheila, Aldine, Walt, Scott, Teresa, Mandy, Brody, Sharon, Gracie. Hold all of these in your care, and may your peace that passes all understanding break into their lives so they may be comforted by your grace and love. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, as we approach our Christmas celebration, we are aware of those who are grieving. Draw near. Wipe away tears like you promise on the last days. Be an ever-present peace to those who are grieving this season. Lord, in your mercy. And gracious God, we look forward to the day when we will all be gathered at one heavenly banquet table, singing your praises without end. And into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share that peace with one another.
Holy God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts toward those who hunger in any way, that all may know your care, and prepare us now to feast on the bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. You are indeed holy, almighty and merciful God. You are most holy, and great is the majesty of your glory. You so loved the world that you gave your only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. We give you thanks for his coming into the world to fulfill for us your holy will and to accomplish all things for our salvation. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, broke it, and gave thanks, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." For as often as we eat of this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Remembering, therefore, his salutary command, his life-giving passion and death, his glorious resurrection and ascension, and the promise of his coming again, we give thanks to you, O Lord God Almighty, not as we ought, but as we are able. We ask you mercifully to accept our praise and thanksgiving, and with your word and his Holy Spirit to bless us, your servants, and these your own gifts of bread and wine, so that all who share in the body and blood of Christ may be filled with the heavenly blessing and grace, and receiving the forgiveness of sin, may be formed to live lives as your holy people, and to be given our inheritance with all the saints. To you, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be all honor and glory in your holy church, now and forever. Amen. Let us grace our table with the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Taste and see that the Lord is good. Come to God's table.
Lamb of God, you bear the sin of all the world away. You suffered death.
May the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Church, as we send you out this day, may you go not as belly button watchers, but as the beloved of God who is looking and listening and sharing the testimony of God at work in this world, proclaiming to all around that, yes, Jesus Christ is the one. And may Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you now and forever. Amen. And now let you say together, reminded of who God has called you to be, as united people of God under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Thank you.
Go in peace. Serve the Lord.